Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 10, The Branches of the Chaitanya Tree, Text 85.
For the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we don't write it
right,
before.
Okay. Tanra Madhe Rupa Sanatana Bada Shaka Anupama Jiva Rajendradi Rupa Shaka. Among those branches, Rupa and Sanatan were principal. Anupama, Jiva Goswami, and others, headed by Rajendra, were their sub-branches. This is a very long purport. I'll just pick out some sections. Thank you. In the Gaura Ganadesh Deepika, it is said that Srila Jiva Goswami was formerly Vilas Manjari Gopi. From his very childhood, Jiva Goswami was greatly fond of Srimad Bhagavatam. He later came to Navadvip to study Sanskrit, and following in the footsteps of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he circumambulated the entire Navadvip Dham. After visiting Navadvip Dham, he went to Benares to study Sanskrit under Madhusudana Vachaspati. And after finishing his studies in Benares, he went to Vrindavan and took shelter of his uncles, Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. The long description of all the many books compiled by Srila Jiva Goswami. After the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami in Vrindavan, Srila Jiva Goswami became the acharya of all the Vaishnavas in Bengal, Orissa, and the rest of the world. And it was he who used to guide them in their devotional service. In Vrindavan, he established the Radha Damodar Temple, where, after retirement, we, Srila Prabhupada referring to himself, had the opportunity to live from 1962 until 65, when we decided to come to the United States of America. When Jiva Goswami was still present, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami compiled his famous Chaitanya Charitamrita. Later, Srila Jiva Goswami inspired Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and Duki Krishnadas to preach Krishna consciousness in Bengal. Jiva Goswami was informed that all the manuscripts that had been collected from Vrindavan and sent to Bengal for preaching purposes were plundered near Vishnupur in Bengal, but later he received information that the books had been recovered. Sri Jiva Goswami awarded the designation Kaviraj to Ramachandra Sen, a disciple of Shivas Srinivasacharya's, and to Ramachandra's younger brother Govinda. When Jiva Goswami was alive, Srimati Janavi Devi, the pleasure potency of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, went to Vrindavan with a few devotees. Jiva Goswami was very kind to the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Vaishnavas from Bengal. Whoever went to Vrindavan, he provided with a residence and prasadam. His disciple Krishnadas Adhikari listed all the books of the Goswamis in his diary. And there we get to a surprising point, perhaps, about Jiva Goswami. As you know, one of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, our extraordinary predecessors, that unscrupulous persons were leveling accusations against Srila Jiva Goswami. Sometimes devotees, they can't imagine how could anyone criticize or make up scandalous accusations against wonderful Vaishnavas. especially when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we may be in a utopian mood. That, okay, now I've stumbled upon a world that, in a material sense, just functions beautifully. But actually, as Srila Prabhupada has pointed out, we're not utopians. We recognize that persons coming to Krishna consciousness are spirit souls in need of purification. The whole material world is full of living entities who need purification. Those who come to Krishna consciousness recognize that need and want to do something about it. It can so happen that persons become envious of spiritually advanced persons. There's no point really in scratching your head and wondering why. Why can't things just be like a perfect fairy tale? Everyone lives happily ever after in the material world. Now, even for devotees of the Lord, the material world is the material world. It's just that the devotees respond to the material world in a completely different way. So I have found that also when I first came to Krishna consciousness, often there's this utopian attitude. Okay, now I've entered a special dream world where there'll be no traces of the muddied perceptions of the material world. And then one becomes shocked to find out that even involving those beautiful spiritual personalities, some others become envious and try to create havoc. That is the nature of the material world. We have to have a mature understanding and not a la-la land understanding. Perhaps our Srila Prabhupada summarized the whole reality very nicely. That you make propaganda against Maya, and Maya will make propaganda against you. That's the way it works in this world. You can't expect that the illusory energy will just stand back and let you, you know, try to free persons from her clutches without her counterattacking. When the illusory energy counterattacks to the extent of even spreading fantasies, complete slanderous fantasies against beautiful devotees, actually this serves to make the devotees even more enthusiastic. They see these discrepancies of the material world as an opportunity to render even more service to Krishna. We're surprised, perhaps, to find out Jiva Goswami, his identity, formerly Vilasa Manjari Gopi and Goloka Vrindavan, the six Goswamis there, these direct successors to Lord Chaitanya. They were no ordinary souls. They came from Krishna's pastimes in Goloka Vrindavan to assist Lord Chaitanya in his work in the material world. Yet and still, unscrupulous persons want to level accusations against Jiva Goswami, the greatest philosopher in religious history, who has no origins in the material world. An eternally liberated soul, a member of Krishna's intimate pastime party. Makes you wonder, well, who then is immune to false propaganda? As long as you're in the material world, you have to expect those things to happen. How does the illusory energy work? Reminds me of a statement by Stalin's head of secret police. You know, Stalin was infamous for just carting off millions of persons to forced labor camps, concentration camps. Anyone who just blinked their eyes the wrong way, they were charged by the state and sent off to prison camps. So his head of his secret police made the famous statement, "You show me a man, I'll give you a charge against him." In other words, I can cock it here. That's the way that loosely energy works also against devotees. Don't expect that the loosely energy is just going to stand back and let the Hare Krishnas merrily take everyone back to Godhead. If you think that's going to happen, you're dreaming. And remember a statement by Hitler's chief of the Gestapo. He said, in terms of making false propaganda, he said, "The bigger the lie and the more frequently you tell it, the more people will believe it." That was his principle. That was his siddhanta. In a very sinister, demoniac way, he understood something about materialistic human nature. Just make the biggest lie against someone and say it frequently enough, people will believe it, even though it's outrageous. It just shows you how imperfect the human mind is. You would think, well, if it's a really big lie, everyone would recognize it's outrageous. But no, there's something attractive about a super big lie against someone, because conditioned souls are envious. So he said, just make the lie as outrageous as you can, and say it frequently, and human beings, they'll fall for it. In other words, he's playing on their envy, their desire that others suffer, their desire that no one should be considered glorious. This happens also to Vaishnavas, and we shouldn't have a rosy-tinted conception of the material world. Srila Prabhupada describes in the purport how the Sahajiyas level 3 accusations against Srila Jiva Goswami. Sahajiyas being those who, and you'll find modern-day equivalents these even today. You don't need to follow rules and regulations in devotional service. You don't need to follow regular principles. Just think of Krishna. And even worse, as you know, they consider their own lusty affairs to be
spiritual.
Yes, spiritual to the extent that it's indicative of Radha Krishna Leela. Very disgusting. So Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport here that the accusations leveled against Jiva Goswami, that campaign is certainly not congenial for the execution of devotional service. We'll go over one of the accusations. Another story fabricated to defame Srila Jiva Goswami states that when Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami showed him the newly completed manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jiva Goswami thought it would hamper his reputation as a big scholar and therefore threw it in the well. Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami was greatly shocked, according to this story, and he died immediately. Supposedly, fortunately, a copy of the manuscript of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita had been kept by a person named Mukunda, and therefore later it was possible to publish the book. This story is another ignominious example of blasphemy against a guru and a Vaishnava. Such a story should never be accepted as authoritative. You may wonder, Why in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami makes reference that any soft-hearted devotee will relish this presentation of the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but those who are envious, those who have the mentality of dogs and hogs, they'll not appreciate it. So, you know, wait, what's going on in Vrindavan? There are persons there who are envious, there are persons there with the mentality of dogs and hogs, and that they're attacking saintly persons. What's going on? What's going on is that such persons can appear to be living in Vrindavan, but actually they're just on the Maya covering, the thin Maya covering of the holy Dham. That's where they dwell. They don't actually dwell in Vrindavan. There's a very thin curtain of illusory energy over Vrindavan Dham in the material world. So that's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur says, you can't buy a ticket to Vrindavan. It's not a question of material transportation. It is a question of bhakti. Through bhakti, you actually enter into the real Vrindavan. So yes, apparently residing in Vrindavan are persons who want to vilify Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. And in that same purport, Srila Prabhupada points out that in terms of his efforts to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, there are persons trying to impede that because they don't appreciate that bhakti is distributed outside of India. They have a bodily conception that only persons born in India can practice bhakti, and that everyone outside of India is eternally disqualified, or the point is that they have to take birth again in their next life in a Hindu family, and then they can perform bhakti. Once devotees were visiting various temples in Vrindavan, this is during Srila Prabhupada's time, and a pujari at a temple told the devotees, if you're fortunate, and if you behave properly in this lifetime, in your next lifetime, you'll be able to take birth in a proper family and render puja, as I am doing, to the deity in Vrindavan. So the devotees, you know, submissive, immediately went back to Srila Prabhupada. They did that with everything in those days because they didn't know anything. All they had was Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, a pujari at a temple of Vrindavan, told us that if we behave ourselves in this lifetime, and that in our next lifetime we might be fortunate enough to take birth in an Hindu family and be a pujari in a temple. Srila Prabhupada thought about it and replied, you go back and tell the pujari, if he behaves himself and does his puja for thousands of births, he can take births in ISKCON and render devotional service. So again, you could be thinking, what's all this going on in amongst devotees? Sometimes newcomers, and even persons who've been around for a couple of years in Krishna consciousness, they become a little distressed seeing that there may be some misunderstandings or inattentiveness in Vaishnava dealings, and they become so bent out of shape, so to speak. Wait a minute. I didn't expect to find such things. I expected everything to be pristine. Well, actually, everything is pristine, but still, the fact is, you're dealing with persons who are aspiring to become purified. So, even despite their best efforts, sometimes you may see a little something that you think, well, that's a little bit not quite right. But you have to give the credit that they may not be perfect, but they're trying to be perfect. And that is such an extraordinary thing. Just the effort to try to be perfect. So once again, we don't want to be utopians. Krishna consciousness is actually very practical. We're not utopians. Krishna consciousness is the art of the possible. Another example that will help you, given in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in a purport, is like Krishna consciousness society is a hospital. And in the hospital you have all different types of patients. You have patients who follow the doctor's order, you have patients who don't follow the doctor's order, and those who go back and forth in between. So therefore, there may be some germs appearing in the hospital, but the expert medical staff always works to cleanse the germs. So hospital means sick people are coming. Sick people who want to become cured. But not all the sick people follow the doctor's instructions. But the medical staff of the hospital makes it a first-class hospital by always keeping the place sterile. This is practical understanding. This is not dreamy-eyed, rose-tinted vision. This is a practical understanding of the dynamics of purification and the reality of trying to be spiritual in the material world. Perhaps you can remember during your school years in high school, the classroom had different types of students in it. There were the goody-goody students who sat in the front of the classroom, and every time the teacher said, jump, the students said, how high? And then you like that? And then there are other students who were kind of in between. They sat in the middle part of the class. Sometimes they listened, sometimes they didn't. And then in the back of the classroom, how many of you hung out in the back of the classroom? Yeah, well, the students who, you know.
You were in a classroom?
All the students who, you know, just, who cares what the teacher said. We're having a good time, passing notes, you know. Is it throwing spitballs, you know? Looking, you know, trying to communicate with the opposite sex while the teacher's trying to teach. So, you understand, that's the way education is. So similarly, in spiritual life, you can have all different types of devotees with different motivations. Of course, here, the expert medical staff keeps everything pristine and delightful as can be. But still, living entities have their independence, and sometimes, from time to time, someone can manifest some qualities that are not the best, but the expert medical staff quickly deals with the situation. That's the reality of trying to be spiritual in the material world. So we shouldn't have, once again, we shouldn't have a utopian, rosy-eyed conception. Oh, no, how could someone was inconsiderate to me, a devotee was inconsiderate to me. How could this happen in the society of devotees? I had some maha, and I entrusted it to a particular devotee. And he promised me that, you know, he would save it for me. And I came back, and it was all devoured. How could this happen? He lied. of course, that's an exaggerated example. But still, these things happen when devotees become disappointed that they see something that not quite the best behavior. And then their utopian conception is disturbed, and they become discouraged in bhakti. But here you see, in this purport, even the greatest souls, like Jiva Goswami, Yes. And Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. They have unscrupulous persons manufacturing the most ridiculous stories. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada points out in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in his efforts to give Lord Chaitanya's mercy to everyone, he's being criticized. How can you give the Hare Krishna mantra to Westerners? How can you give sannyas to Westerners? How can you do all these things? You're disturbing the Hindu religion. Indeed, even Lord Chaitanya himself had to go through that. You remember in the pastime with the Changkazi, the Muslim ruler of Bengal, how the ritualistic Hindus were going to the Muslim ruler to complain about Lord Chaitanya. He's disturbing the Hindu religion by spreading this Hare Krishna mantra to all castes of society. This is a great offense. So they're going to the Muslim emperor, asking him to take action against Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is the nature of the material world. They were claiming that by Lord Chaitanya's Harinam Sankirtan, chanting the holy name of Krishna in public, that this would cause a diminishment in spiritual life. I remember once devotees were doing a drama in Atlanta for Srila Prabhupada about the Changkazi pastime. And devotees were playing the role of the Hindus going to the Changkazi to complain about Lord Chaitanya. And they got to the part where they told the Changkazi, if that Sri Chaitanya goes on chanting this Hare Krishna mantra in public, if he goes on chanting this Hare Krishna mantra everywhere, the potency of the holy name will become reduced because it's being distributed everywhere freely. It'll lose its potency. Hare Krishna mantra will lose its potency. And Prabhupada interjected right into the play. Potency has already increased. I said Hare Krishna. Potency has already increased because you said Hare Krishna. That was his realization. The astounding realization. That is life on the pure bhakti platform. So, even during the time of Lord Chaitanya, he had his critics spreading false propaganda. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur would take parikrama parties around Vrindavan, and people would throw stones at them because Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was initiating as brahmanas persons who weren't born in Brahmana families. This is the reality of spreading Krishna consciousness in the material world. So we have to be practical and not rosy-eyed. We are not utopians. Bhakti yogis are very practical. They understand the nature of the material world, and they understand what is the pure spiritual world and how the two intersect in various permutations within this world. According to another accusation, there's another accusation that Jiva Goswami didn't support the principle of Parakiya Ras of Rajadam, that Krishna and his gopi friends had a relationship of paramour. And so Jiva Goswami supposedly, because he didn't approve of that, he showed that Radha and Krishna are eternally married. But actually, that is not so. Because some of his followers couldn't get their mind around the fact that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has paramours, has girlfriends, he, for their spiritual benefit, supported this notion that Radha and Krishna are eternally married, but he never said that there's something wrong with the parakya ras, the parama love between Krishna and the gopis. So, all right, think this way and be peaceful. But that doesn't mean he disapproved of the paramour relation between Krishna and the gopis. Which leads to another subject. If we had more time, I would go into it. How I noticed around the world that even our own devotees sometimes have problems accepting that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has girlfriends. I've done informal surveys all over the world. And like 50% of the devotees, in Russia, for example, in a seminar of 1 of 1,200 devotees, I asked, how many of you truly, honestly feel a little uncomfortable that God has girlfriends? Half the devotees raised their hands. In Ukraine, seminars with like 700 devotees, I asked the same question. Again, half the devotees raised their hands. Very interesting. You can understand now why Srila Prabhupada in the Krishna book goes through such an elaborate presentation, philosophical presentation of Rasa Leela, because the tendency is to misunderstand. And it's a very difficult thing to explain to your parents. But when you think about it, with the aid of the acharyas, it's even completely logical. That the most intense feature of material existence is present in the Supreme Absolute Truth and Perfection. So if we have more time, I would discuss that another time. So please understand the unattractiveness of material existence in that even the greatest spiritual personalities can incur false propaganda. Once again, as Srila Prabhupada said, you make propaganda against Maya, Maya will make propaganda against you. It's tit for tat in the material world. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.